In our last video, we looked at the Oxford Group, an amazing move of God with Reverend Frank Buchman, that Lutheran minister out east, at least east from here in Michigan, in the East Coast area, region, Pennsylvania, New York, that whole area, and how God did a special thing that went from there to all over the world, as far as Oxford, and how God used Reverend Buchman and many others to bring the good news of the gospel, but also principles and eventually and steps to help people coming to get out of their addiction, to find Christ, and also where Christ then set them free from what was hindering them. As I've said before, the it, what it, whatever it is that was controlling them, and how the Oxford Group provided that space and that environment for people to come to the Lord, come to surrender, come to a new life, a new beginning. That group was the first big step in forming other recovery movements. As we look at breaking the addiction cycle, what we will soon find out is that the medics, the doctors, those in the medical profession came to the conclusion that medicine does not cure when it comes to addiction. It's part of it, but not all of it. Medicine helps to understand the bodily function and also the physical and the chemical and so on. But there's the spiritual side where it all begins that they didn't have a grasp on and still don't, because what people often do is today send people who are caught in their addiction to whatever it is to one of the anonymous groups, to a recovery center, a recovery place. And every component in recovery works together for the good of the addict, the good of the person who needs that freedom, that needs that new beginning, that new start. Medicine's part of it, but it begins with the spiritual part and involves many other components with it. Well, let's go back to Reverend Buchman. Get back into the history so we understand how the tools and the components of breaking the addiction cycle with God's help to begin with work. The how. And we'll talk more and more about the how of recovery and breaking the addiction cycle, how it works, why it works. Yes, addiction is baffling. It will always be baffling. But with God's help today, in this session and the next three sessions, this session along with two more, we will then discover how it all works. Well, it brings us to the 12 steps and their development. Thanks to Bill Wilson, or Bill W. as he's called, and Alcoholics Anonymous. It began in the 1930s, and Bill W. he was struggling with addiction. His problem was alcohol. That was his drug of choice, that had a grip on his life, body, mind, spirit, the whole nine yards. And what Bill came to a conclusion was he could not do it on his own. He was going to die if he did not find an answer. Eventually, he became a part of the Oxford Group. And God did rescue him, save him. Thanks to Reverend Buchman and others, helped Bill W. to get on the right track with God and recovery. What happened here? Well, when it comes to the exact history and the catalyst of where Bill said, you know, yes, the Oxford Group is good, but there's something more. There's other things that need to be done. The Oxford Group was going in a brilliant direction, but it was getting more into politics and government and other policy issues. That's really not where Bill W. was at. He felt it had to be more of a fellowship. It had to be more of grassroots movements where he was in the East Coast, New York area, to then other places. So, as the story goes, Bill W.'s friend Edwin Thatcher, or nicknamed Ebby, E-B-B-Y, Ebby. And I'll have this reading material posted for this session so you can read it in full as I nuance, as I highlight this for you to walk you through the history. Because with Ebby, he came to Bill's house, knocked on his door, and prior to that was a cheery phone call. And Bill opened that door, desperate, still struggling. Yes, part of the Oxford group, good. Yes, needing to come to Christ, yes. However, there needed to be more. And with Ebby, he brought Bill into the Oxford group, brought him more and more into the recovery process. And Bill said, "There's something about you, Ebby." Ebby said, "I found religion." Bill said, "Great for you. What does that mean?" Yeah, Bill knew about Christ. But before he could really embrace Christ, Bill needed a pre-step, a first step, prior to the full step of accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, and for him to begin to flush out all the wreckage of the past. Well, Ebby said, "Well, maybe you ought to start here and then go there." Here's what he meant. He said, "Maybe you should start with, well, saying, I need to accept God as I understand Him, a God of my understanding, so that I can at least get a sense of who God is." Now, let's be honest. As believers, and assuming as you are taking this course and you are a Christian believer and you're following Christ, you want to be involved in ministry, restorative justice, as well as recovery ministry, as well as other forms of ministry in the same vein, you're saying, "Yeah, I have my days. I fear, I doubt, I'm still learning who God is in experience. I know who He is in terms of the doctrine of God." I took that with perhaps Dr. Pettis and also other great teachers here with Christian Leaders Institute. But more importantly, how do I experience and discover God's presence in my life? And whereas I deal with my life issues, and what am I depending on instead of God to solve and resolve my life issues? Well, that's where Bill W. was at too. He's saying, "Man, I don't know what to do." And the Oxford Principles, there are six tenets that I highlighted somewhat in the previous session on the Oxford group. But for review, the principles are these. First of all, men and women, are sinners. Mankind, second tenet, men and women can be changed. The third tenet was that confession is a prerequisite to change. I need to admit. See, the catalyst, as I have here in the PowerPoint, you know, Bill, God had His hand on him. Secondly, his catalyst was Ebby coming to the door, saying, "I found religion, but let's start with you understanding God as you understand Him, Bill W." And then the Oxford group became a part of Bill's life. And Bill started to ask questions and began to write and began to ponder and reflect. And looking at these six tenets, again, mankind are sinners, women are sinners, men and women can be changed. Confession is a prerequisite to change as the third tenet. Fourthly, the changed soul has direct access to God. Direct access to God. Why? Because, as we'll soon discover, when we admit, when we get honest with ourselves, As the Bible says, come, let us reason together, God says. The book of Isaiah. God says, I will make your sins, though they are red as crimson, white as snow. Get honest with yourself. Why is it that we in the church don't get honest with our sins? That's a whole other discussion, but you can just see where that tends to go. Because let's also get honest on another point. Many in the church are not honest about their sins. They don't admit them. Everything is fine, thank you. Even though we're freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. It's a fine means. F-I-N-E. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Ah! I don't want anybody else to know my business. Perhaps that's cultural. And I imagine it is. In many, many cases. And where we come together as believers, where we worship, but we have no intention of sharing to the person sitting next to us that I just overdid it with alcohol the night before, or I just fill in the blank. Well, of course, Bill was dealing with alcohol. So the changed soul, after we admit, confess, has direct access to God. God is right there. He said, I already know what you did, God is saying. Just admit it. Because that unlocks the door for freedom and coming to Christ. The fifth tenet in the Oxford group was the age of miracles has returned. The age of miracles has returned. Now, let's also admit that miracles have always been there right from the get-go, right from the start, when it came to how God did the miracle of His grace after Adam and Eve. But what the Oxford group was reflecting on was how the church somehow lost that sense of the miraculous. And now we can see the miracles happen in the lives of people who are admitting, confessing, and also coming back to God with that direct access. And the final tenet in the Oxford group that Bill W. experienced was that those who have been changed must change others. Give back. So that attention where you have again, those working in the fields of psychiatry, psychology, and philosophy of the day, Carl Jung, for example, who was into therapy, they all, and also others in medicine, they all came together and said, whoa, this is a blend, this is a collaboration, an integration of all the disciplines in a social setting, namely the church, if you will, because the church is God's people, people who are believers coming together, saying we need to admit, we need God to change us. And Bill W. caught that eventually. He still struggled through. Ebbie was his good friend and helped him in the mid-1930s. And eventually, as Bill continued to write, he began to build what then became the Big Book, as it's called, or Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Bill Wilson didn't intend for that Big Book to be that guidebook, that manual for Alcoholics Anonymous, as we know it today. At that time, it was a treatise. It was his own story and how God brought him out of alcoholism and into full devotion to Jesus and also to healthy living. Because as Bill W.'s story went, he continued to search, experience the steps of the Oxford group, and then began to develop the 12 steps as we know them today. Because as Bill came to understand God's main understanding, of course, that was the God of the Bible eventually, he had to process things. Things had to move through. And eventually, he came into a relationship with Dr. Robert Smith, or Dr. Bob, as he's known today, and then as well, in Akron, Ohio, where they came together and they were two drunks that were trying to help each other to stop drinking. And the more they worked on it, the more they came to understand that, okay, there's something that needs to be more boots on the ground, grassroots, something that will become a movement from here to there, from us to other people, from one drunk to another, helping others recover with support. And therefore, the steps were born with the help of Dr. Bob with Bill Wilson. And happy to say that these steps can be summarized in these 12 statements. Number one, be honest. Be honest. Admit. Secondly, have faith. Thirdly, trust God. The fourth statement about the fourth step is insight. And then step five, integrity. Step six, acceptance. Step seven, be humble. Step eight, willpower. Step nine, forgiveness. Step 10 is where there's conservation, and also step 11, accomplishment, and step 12, it has to do with a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle where again, God is directing your life and you're giving back. Well, those statements, to summarize the steps, reflect the steps themselves, which are, as Bill W. developed them and wrote them, and it was truly a miracle of God. God just poured His Spirit upon Bill, and it just flowed out in record time, where Bill wrote, step one, we admitted. Again, back to the Oxford group, those who admit, those who confess, will have access to God. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. That's trust. Trust. Step four, here's the insight. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready now to have God remove all these defects of character. Goes back to integrity. And step seven, Bill wrote, we humbly asked Him, God, therefore, to remove our shortcomings. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. And so, step seven, we humbly asked Him to remove the shortcomings. Only God can do it. I cannot do it, Bill said. God, You can. Step eight, we made a list of all people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. To amend, to add life, to make it right in the lives of others who I have harmed, or again, those who I've had resentment towards who have harmed me. And where we can make it right with each other. So we made a list. Get ready. Number nine, step nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step ten, here's where it becomes the lifestyle starts to take hold. We continue to take personal inventory. Again, going back to step four, to step ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Aha, going back to step one, to step four, now to step ten. All included in there are the practices of admission, confession, and also integrity and direct trust, direct access to God, turning it over to God spiritually, emotionally, mentally, verbally to Him. There's power in words. Continue to take personal inventory. Here's what I'm wrong, God. And Bill saw that flow, that process. And step 11, sought through prayer, meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs, meaning in all of life's areas, every sphere of life. And so that then brought Bill W. into a place where, again, by God's power, the Alcoholics Anonymous book, the big book, where these steps were then written and, of course, explained, all from Bill's experience, his treatise, began to spread like wildfire. And now, as we know, all over the world, from the 1940s, when it really got going, right through today, where it's everywhere. And eventually, you have other adaptations. And I also want to highlight as well the 12 traditions. There are 12 traditions that Bill W. and Dr. Bob formed as well. They began to see that the 12 steps were the foundation. It brings us to the true foundation, who is Christ Himself. And later on, there were some things that Bill and Dr. Bob experimented with that having to do with other things and other treatments, other drugs and so on, that were not healthy. We still deal with our brokenness. Bill will be the first to tell you, if you're still alive today, I'm not perfect. We try different things as far as recovery to really maybe adapt or whatever, but truly going back, because he tried some things at LSD and with Dr. Bob and those things in the 1960s, did not fare too well. But prior to this, in the 1940s and so on, and really going right on through the rest of his life, still working the 12 steps and helping another drunk to get sober, and another drunk to get sober, and so on. And that multiplied everywhere. And there were other adaptations, because other people who are not struggling with alcohol necessarily, but struggling perhaps with cocaine or with heroin, fentanyl, glue, other things. You know, people were into many other things, as we know. Opioids of other forms, painkillers, other substances. And they said, Bill, we need something that will specify, that will then help us to really zero in on that before we can get into all my other life issues. Because, of course, Bill was specific about alcohol. And other people wanted to get specific about cocaine, gambling, emotions, sex, everything about the human experience that could become a drug of choice. And so what followed after eventually was Narcotics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous, and so forth. Sex Addicts Anonymous. There's so many different forms of anonymous. And what they did is they took the 12 steps that I just stated that Bill wrote verbatim, and they adapted it for other things. Even with Dr. Les Carter, who is a Christian psychiatrist, part of the Minrith and Meyer clinics, that have been well known here in the United States. He wrote what was called the Anger Workbook. You might look it up on Amazon.com. The Anger Workbook. And the Anger Workbook, as an example, he then developed a 13th step. So there are 13 steps to having victory over anger. Of course, adapted from the 12 steps of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous. And these adaptations have been very, very good. But then there were also 12 traditions that complemented and that Bill W. and Dr. Bob felt were needed to be observed and also practiced as people came together in support groups. That was the modus operandi. That was how they did it. Dr. Bob and Bill W., therefore, had the 12 steps. They had the desire to be sober and to really work those 12 steps. And as they say in recovery, it works if you work it. It won't if you don't. Of course, it all depends on God's power in you. And if are you going to surrender or not? Sounds like sanctification after justification. The sanctification is Jesus, chisel out, flush out all of my wreckage, all of my shortcomings, remove them, Lord. And so the method was now well known today as the support group. Dr. Bob and Bill W. just got together as two people. That turned into 5 people, 10 people, and then other groups of other 5, 10, 15, 20 people, and so on. And groups began to pop up like popcorn everywhere. Well, here are the 12 traditions. The first tradition that they wanted to have alongside of the 12 steps that they encouraged, exhorted to the alcoholic as the main focus, point of reference, was this. Number one, the common welfare comes first. First tradition, the common welfare comes first. Second tradition, there is one ultimate authority, which is a loving God. Third tradition, the desire to stop drinking is the only membership requirement. Because with the Oxford group, there was membership in the Oxford group. And coming through the Oxford group, that was a change that Bill W. and Dr. Bob eventually supported. They endorsed. Said there's really no membership. It's just come as you are. Attendance. Keep coming back. So, again, the third tradition is the desire to stop drinking is the only membership requirement. Fourth tradition is that each AA group is autonomous, except in matters of affecting all groups. And so they said, you know, each group needs to be its own thing, but collectively, as there's a need to address issues, we'll help each other. The fifth tradition, each group's primary purpose is to carry the message to those still struggling with alcohol. Tradition 6, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, does not give money, endorsement, or prestige to organizations outside the group's mission. Tradition 7. Each group must self-support and decline outside contributions. Tradition 8. The core of the group meetings is non-professional peer support. Peer support. Therefore, as I said earlier, Carl Jung, as Dr. Jung, who was the founder of Jungian psychology and psychiatry methods and so forth, he then directed a lot of people, when the Oxford group got going, and of course now eventually AA, to this form of peer support. Because he recognized, Dr. Jung, for example, recognized that this was working in addition to or even better than one-on-one therapy. Okay, tradition number 9. There's no central organizing body. There's no corporate office. There are central offices to support AA groups you'll find in each community today. So as far as big books, Alcoholics Anonymous books, and other materials, you'll find at a central office in your community. But there's no corporate office, much like a bank or any other corporation having a headquarters in New York City or in Detroit, Michigan, or what have you. Tradition 10, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, remains apolitical, meaning politics is not our focus here at all, with no opinion on outside issues. Tradition 11, personal anonymity of members is deeply important. I'll say it again. personal anonymity of members is deeply important. Members in the sense that, yes, there's no membership, but those who choose to become part of an AA group on a regular basis, you know, we need to have anonymity. Finally, tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of the traditions, placing principles above people. Finally, again, tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of the traditions, placing principles above persons or personal things and preferences. So, with these traditions, Dr. Bob and Bill W. have effectively put the 12 steps along these traditions to build a framework for a peer support movement that led to an international movement of not only Alcoholics Anonymous, but also many other spin-offs, as I like to say, and adaptations of the 12 steps with other foci, other things to help others deal specifically with the substance, other substances, other things, other behaviors, most effectively, because what Dr. Bob and Bill W. didn't realize was they built another foundation that brought what the Oxford Group was doing to a new level and also miraculous level for many. As many in AA have said, and other anonymous groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, save my rear end, they'll say. But then they'll say, those who are believers, Jesus Christ, save my soul. Next session, we're going to see how God brought the 12 steps now into a Christ-centered, more Christ-centered framework over 20 years ago.